In the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the greatest man who ever lived gave what was probably the wisest counsel that has ever been given when he said that we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That's probably our most profitable idea. However, the thing we do more than about any other thing is laying up for ourselves treasures upon the earth. Now, that's a great idea, providing we know how to handle it. There are a great many people who have contended for the treasures in heaven on the grounds that they're a lot more valuable, they're a lot more satisfying, they're a lot more permanent. Somebody complained about one of the disadvantages of the treasures upon the earth by saying you can't take them with you. Someone said, with taxes like they are, you can't even keep them while you're here. And he put this idea down in verse. He said, you can't take them with you. That's practically sure, for they're generally gone quite a long time before you're. Now, that may not be very good poetry, but that's a striking idea. And then some pessimist has pointed out that even if you could take them with you, they'd only melt. But it seems to me that we spend a great deal more time than is necessary sometimes in downgrading these great treasures that we get from the earth. We sometimes refer to our medium of exchange by calling it such uncomplimentary names as filthy lucre or tainted money, and that may sometime be an accurate description, but it need not necessarily be so. Someone said money can't buy happiness. And his friend said, maybe not, but it does enable one to pick out the particular kind of misery that he enjoys the most. And then somebody has reminded us that if there's anybody that can't buy happiness with money, it must be that he just doesn't know where to shop. That is, we can build temples with money. We can send out missionaries with money. We can erect educational institutions and operate hospitals and pay our tithing with money. We can build up the kingdom of God upon the earth with money. Somebody said, money ain't everything. And his friend said, just name me three things that it ain't. Now, we ought maybe to think about some of those things that it is. That is, money is preserved labor. It's industry made negotiable. It's stored up accomplishment. It's the medium of exchange that we can trade in for a lot of things that we can take with us. And there are a great many things that we can send on ahead. But it offers us a convenient means of sharing these great treasures of the earth with others who are in need. In 1931, Vash Young wrote a great, a popular bestseller entitled A Fortune to Share. Vash Young had worked as a salesman during the lush, easy, prosperous years of the late 1920s. And then the market crash had pitched Vash Young and a few million other people into the bottomless economic pit of the early 1930s. But Vash Young didn't like the depression, and he was pretty well soured on this world generally. And so he decided to solve his problem by buying a gun and with the intention of committing suicide. But before he pulled the trigger, he thought a little bit about his family and his children, and he thought probably that wasn't a very good way, a very manly way to solve a problem. And so instead of shooting himself, he did a little analyzing, and he discovered that his mind had been operating like a giant junk factory, manufacturing all kinds of useless and harmful emotional and mental and spiritual junk. And then Vash Young remembered William James, the great Harvard psychologist, who said that the greatest discovery of my generation is that you can change your circumstances by changing your attitudes of mind. Now, everybody wants to change his circumstances, but Vash Young decided that he would change himself. He said, I got tired of being a fool. And then he decided that he'd like to get out of the junk business. And so he dumped overboard a great many of his bad habits of alcohol and liquor and irresponsibility and negative thinking. He decided that he'd go to work and try to make something out of himself and have the right kind of attitudes. And it wasn't very long before Vash Young discovered that his prosperity level was going up like a skyrocket. And then he discovered this great idea that he had within his power a vast fortune that he could share with everybody else in the world without lessening his own supply. And then he wrote this great book giving his ideas and some of the things that he thought were necessary. And then he set aside one day a week as what he called Trouble Day. This is a day on which he spent his time with other troubled people, trying to get them out of the junk business and trying to get them to take advantage of this great fortune that was available, so easily available to everyone in the world. Now we have this, if I were asked to give you the most important idea of which I'm capable, it would be something very similar to this, that all of us ought to get out of the junk business. And then we have this great fortune that we can share with other people. Yesterday, President Pinniger mentioned this idea of Patrick Henry, one of our early American patriots who lived a long, useful, and very successful life. And just before the time of his death, he said, "I have just finished distributing all of my wealth to my children, but there is one thing more that I wish I could give them, and that is the Christian religion. If I could give them that, though I had not given them a single shilling, they would be rich. And if they did not have that, though I had given them all of the world, they would be poor." I hold in my hand a copy of the Holy Bible. In this is written the word of the Lord. This book contains some of the covenants that the Lord has made and would like to make with every person upon the earth, whoever has lived upon the earth or whoever will live upon the earth. This book gives the account of an event that took place some 34 centuries ago when the God of creation came down onto the top of Mount Sinai in a cloud of fire. And to the accompaniment of the lightnings and thunders of that sacred mountain gave us the Ten Commandments. That is, he enumerated 10 specific ways how we could get out of the junk business. And then he gave us these other great principles that we could share with other people. This is the Lord's own fortune to share book. But the Lord doesn't have just one of these books. In our own day, the Lord has given to the world 3 great volumes of new scripture, outlining in every detail the simple principles of the gospel of Christ. But one of the disadvantages or shortcomings maybe of even the Holy Scriptures is that they're not automatic. They don't work unless we work. Now, more than anything else, this great message needs messengers. And the Lord has invited us to come into this family business, which Jesus referred to as my Father's business. Now, that's the business of building integrity and character and righteousness and eternal life into the lives of his children. He has told us many things about the family, as you have heard here today. And at the very beginning, he gave us this great miraculous ability of procreation, where we can form children in our own image and in the image of God. And then we set aside this one night a week where we can share these great fortunes of the gospel with our children, and through our missionary programs and other ways, we can share this great message with everybody else in the world. And the Lord has promised us that if we will serve as his messengers, if we will set aside some troubled days and help other people to understand, help his children that he loves to take advantage of these great treasures, that he will share his treasures with us. In speaking of the oath and covenant of the priesthood, he said, "He that receiveth my servants receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth my Father. And he that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Then all that my Father hath shall be given unto him." Now maybe you can think of something that's more exciting than that, but I don't know just what it would be. That is, God is a very wealthy personage. Everybody likes to inherit from a wealthy parent. Now you try to think of something that's more exciting than to inherit from God, to get everything that God has. Someone has said that thrift is a great virtue, especially in an ancestor. Now, God has been very thrifty. He's been very wise. He's been very generous. In the very beginning, He created us in His own image, and He has endowed us with a set of His attributes and potentialities, the development of which is one of the purposes for which we live. And He desires that all of us should be rich. He said, "The fullness of the earth is yours, and it pleaseth God that He hath given all these things unto man to be used with judgment and thanksgiving." That is, He has shared with us these great treasures of the earth, and now He'd like to share with us the treasures of heaven. And He has said that the greatest gift that He is capable of giving is the gift of eternal life. That is, He wants us to become celestial beings, to be members of that great order to which God Himself belongs, and to labor in that enterprise in which He Himself spends His entire time. And so we listen again as we think of those words as they come down to us through the Sermon on the Mount, in which our Heavenly Father said that He would like to have us lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And may God help us to be fully successful. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.